Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Delay, we missed an episode, right?
Yeah, we did miss an episode. Yeah. It's been kind of crazy.
We apologize.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. And again, sorry for the intro because there's still no music. Danielle, I think you were in charge of that.
Wait a minute. It's getting done. She's working on it.
Okay.
You cannot rush good art. It's going to be worth it.
I hope so.
It is.
Great.
Yes.
Good.
People are going to go around singing it. It's going to be in your head all day long. It's going to be like
we're the new Stones.
No, I was going to say we're the new shark song.
What?
Baby shark doo 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 doo. Baby shark doo doo. You know that?
What?
Yeah. No, you don't know it.
No.
Any mom out there knows it. It's like the most annoying
oh,
song
yes,
ever.
I do. Yeah. Very annoying.
Yeah. And once you get it in your head, you go around singing it and you can't stop.
Yeah.
So you're thinking we're going to be the Stones. No, I think we're going to be more the baby shark.
Yeah, the baby shark. So today we're talking about Keeping Up with the Joneses. And this was another listener request, right?
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for that. And surprisingly enough, we did not come up with this ourselves, and we should have, because it's very relatable to us.
Absolutely.
So,
are you at all feeling, were you feeling tense about recording this today?
Yeah, because Keeping Up with the Joneses is mostly about me, so.
Oh, I even just meant because. You were sort of nervous. I was mad at you all day.
Yeah, that too.
Right, right.
We're so happy and so in love, and we still fight because Adam does stupid stuff.
Yeah,
as always.
I'm glad you just said that.
Yeah.
Well, we could give a little backstory. Do you mind if I give a little backstory?
I would love to hear your backstory.
Would you?
Oh God! But doesn't everybody?
Well, it'll be half the time of your backstory. So you've been working constantly. We haven't really gone out.
We haven't been out in a month and a half.
Yeah.
We have not gone out.
Which is ridiculous for us.
We're out once to twice a week.
Usually, for dinner. Yeah. Just to go out, get out. And we have not really been going out. Number one, this is your busy season at work. So you're constantly occupied. We've been busy with the podcast.
Yeah.
The kids have had a lot of stuff. So we haven't really got out. So last night we had plans to go out with another couple good friends of ours. And I was excited about it, but we were tired. And you were really tired.
I was exhausted.
Yeah, you really were. You've been working 7 days a week and you were really tired. But still I wanted to get out. I wanted to go out with you. And we had a great dinner. Delicious dinner. Mm-hmm. And then we get in the car to
go home. But what about the backstory? I was so incredibly nice to you the whole night during dinner. Like, remember they even sat me across the table from you? And I'm like, no, I'm going to sit next to my wife.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, you were very nice, which is why it was so weird.
And I was kissing you all throughout dinner.
Were you?
Oh, God. Yes, I was.
Okay. I know you were resting your head on me, but I just thought that was because you were exhausted.
I was like showing my love at dinner, and you're like, wow. So it goes unappreciated.
That's really nice.
I try hard.
That was great. So, but no, you were nice at dinner, and we were really happy to be together. And then on the way home, you just started like acting like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that?
Too many drinks were ordered for me, and...
What do you mean too many drinks were ordered for you, as if like someone was lining up shots for you to do? You ordered your own drinks.
No, I didn't.
Oh, our friend ordered them?
Yeah, my friend was ordering me drinks. Oh. Like when I was finishing, because I had to work the next morning.
Yeah.
I was like, not, I wasn't trying to be good, but like I was not ordering myself, you know, mm-hmm. and like he would see me like finishing and be like, he needs a drink, like bring him another one. Like, and it just, you know, kept doing that. And
you were exhausted.
I was so exhausted.
Which is why I was trying to be a little forgiving today. Yeah. But basically we get in the car, we go in the Uber to go home. We're with the couple in the Uber because we live around the corner from them. And just out of nowhere, like, we start talking about, she and I have teenage girls the same age, and we're talking about our struggles with the teenage girls, and talking about, not that we're worried about this quite yet, they're only 13, but it's going to happen, and talking about them making out with boys, and, you know, what, how we're going to handle all of that, and whatever, and somehow it came up, and you start talking about, like, I'll fucking kill the guy, or, you know, not my girl, she's not gonna, like, just stupid comments that, like, just... comments that I like, if you want to pick a fight with me, start talking like this, you know that, right. So then it comes up that,
and
we talk about,
I remember just about as much of this as you remember about me kissing you during dinner.
Oh, so, wasn't that convenient? Yeah. So then she and I start talking about our boys. We have two boys the same age who are a little younger, and we start talking about them and how, you know, it's going to be the opposite end for them because we need to make sure that they're respectful to girls and all that stuff. And you chime in, oh, well, it's okay if my boy does it.
Yeah.
Which I know, number one, that you don't even think like that. Like, I know that you're raising our boys to be good kids.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, in my head, it was just you saying stupid shit to pick a fight with me because you know that stuff like that gets under my skin and I can't stand the double standard and that, like, for lack of a better term, chauvinistic attitude.
Well, I also think, look, like I said, I barely remember even saying what I said, but like as a dad, I have a thing to protect my daughter a lot stronger than I do to protect my son. I protect my son from hurting anybody or like not being a gentleman to a girl, but
yeah, but her kissing a boy, isn't you protecting her? She's going to be allowed to, or a girl or whoever she kisses. I always go to boy, which I shouldn't, but you know, I just feel like in that moment last night, it wasn't even about the fact, I don't even think you really think like that. It was more about the fact that you were just being an asshole to be an asshole. You were just starting with me to start with me. And it was such a nice dinner and everything that it was just a shitty way to end the night.
Yeah.
And we're both tired. So we drop our friends off in the Uber. And then you're on one side of the car. I'm the other side of the car. We're like looking out the window in separate directions because we know we're mad at each other now. And then we come home and go to bed mad at each other because, number one, we're too exhausted to talk about it. And it was just so dumb.
Yeah.
But like, you do that shit. And like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you will just say stupid things, and it's almost in my mind you just picking a fight to pick a fight. So
okay,
yeah. So anyway, it was so you woke up this morning. I had to take my dad to the doctor really early, and you wake up and I text you something, and you text back, "Are we fighting?"
Right.
You're like, I'm saying sorry. See, I said sorry right away.
I don't apologize. So I wanted to make sure that I knew what I did was stupid and wrong. And I apologized up front right away.
Right. Except that I kept waking up in the middle of the night upset about it all. I had other stress going on in my mind too. And then I'm thinking about that whole thing and how much it bothers me that sometimes you say that stuff and you say stuff like that sometimes in front of our son, which I don't like, similar type statements.
Listen, once or twice it happened. I wouldn't say sometimes this happens.
Well, lately it's been a little more.
When you said like lately I do, like I've been chauvinistic or anything like that, you said that to me in a text. I don't think that's true. Like,
well,
I made like three in the last few weeks. I made a few stupid jokes.
A few too many. He's too impressionable for that.
Okay, but I talked to him afterward.
Okay, but it shouldn't have. Why? Why do you need to? You don't even feel
need
that.
To, no.
If you do feel that way, then that's a whole other problem. I know you don't.
Of course not. But when people joke about anything, that's not about the way you feel. You're making fun of a situation which might be in bad taste sometimes, might be in
okay taste sometimes. It's in very bad taste. I won't even repeat the jokes because I'm embarrassed by them.
Sure.
But and you know that everybody who listens to us knows that we don't, we say lots of, you know, quote unquote inappropriate things. But I think we draw the line at the fact that we are open-minded people who don't make fun of people who are different than us. And I think that that was a little bit where it was going. And it's just been a few statements recently that I feel like, as his dad, you should be so careful of that. Mm-hmm. So last night was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, and out of nowhere and stupid, and the way you were saying it, the way it was coming out of your mouth was, you know, really bothersome. So today, a little bit, when we sit down to record, it's sort of like we have this baggage kind of,
right?
But that's life, and we still want to record, and we still need to be together, and we still need to take care of our kids and stuff, but it's definitely it's tense a little bit in that situation.
So, girls, is that like a guy thing? Like, do your husbands do this? Guys, do your wives do this? Like, do other people do this a lot? Like, is this a guy thing?
I don't think I do that. I don't think I ever just out of nowhere just say bitchy things or...
No, you say stupid things sometimes. And this is coming out of nowhere, so I don't have an example. I'm not equating to what you're upset about things that I've said, but... You say stupid things. I say stupid things. Okay, maybe mine are a lot.
Mine aren't offensive.
Right. Mine are a lot. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm very careful with what I say around the kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, is that a thing? Like, girls? Like, do guys do this a lot?
I think a little bit. If I can, I'm not going to speak on behalf of everybody. In my own mind, I think a little bit. You guys have this immature part of you where you forget that you're supposed to be the grown-up in the situation.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's...
I agree.
Worrisome and upsetting and sometimes humiliating, embarrassing, and infuriating.
Any other adjectives?
I could keep going. Yeah. All right. So let's – anyway, so that's where we're coming – that's where we're sitting down with that, you know, as a prerequisite to this whole episode. So – but
– all right. So can you swig your drink for a little bit, please? Because
– I don't know.
I think you've had like one sip so far. Okay. And I would love for you to have a few more.
Okay.
So we can just like get into this.
Okay.
Keeping Up with the Joneses, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're getting into?
Again.
Yeah?
Acting like you have no clue what's going on.
Before we even get into that, again, so today is Sunday, October 21st, and I say that because this is about Keeping Up with the Joneses and buying things and money and all that. Today... The Mega Millions has broken a record, and we are at $1.6 billion if you win the Mega. And that's for Tuesday, so by then it could be over $2 billion, and it probably will be. So if you walk away with a cash lump sum of probably $1 billion, after taxes, $600 million, free and clear.
Wow.
What would you do? I want to know.
Well, we were going to get into this later.
Oh, were we?
I thought so, but what would I do? Oh God, with $600 million?
Yeah.
It's stupid to even think about because you would do everything.
Wait, am I there?
I would make a separate house for you.
Okay.
Where when you say stupid shit like that, right. I'm like, go to your house rather than go to your room.
Oh, I can go to my own house?
Yeah, you go to your own house, really? And I'm like, when you're done thinking stupid shit, you can come back over.
Wait,
and
so all I have to do is say something stupid, I go to my own house? Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to break out a list of stupid shit to say.
So, yeah. No, I can't even. It's, you know, it's beyond. It's you can't like, even.
You would probably die of a heart attack when you found out you won anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, all right.
I would. Or
that. Yeah. No, of course. There's so many things. But we'll get into something like that a little later.
All right. So let's start.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Ready, set, go.
Go.
There you go.
Why? All right. All right, so as always, you asked me a bunch of questions, and I answered because I can't do this without your prep work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked me if, like, how have we fallen into the trap of Keeping Up with the Joneses? But I think you said even we should skip this, right? Like, just move on to each other? Like, is it boring?
Yeah, I think it's – listen, we live in a suburb, a middle to upper middle class suburb where – we do what everybody else does.
Do you want to even explain what that means, Keeping Up with the Joneses?
Oh, right. Yeah. So Keeping Up with the Joneses, it's basically, and I don't know if it's an American term or not, but I'm assuming it is because I think when I researched it, it comes from a 1913 comic that was about neighbors. And then somehow it morphed into this idea of having to somehow keep up with your neighbors financially, socially, status-wise, and feeling the need to do all these things in order to fit in and stand out. So you know, you're trying to keep up, but you're almost sometimes trying to one-up everybody else. You're trying to take it even to the next level so that people say, oh, wow, look what she got or look what he got. Or so it's a little bit of, you know, in my mind, when I think about it, I think it's a little bit like the adult version of peer pressure in a sense.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Well, except you're not being pressured. You just like peer pressure is like when your friends are like, "Hey, man, you got to do this," or "I got this, so you got to get this." Like, I think.
Nah, I don't think my friends ever did that.
Keeping Up with the Joneses is more like, "Oh, look, no. That's cool. I want it too."
Well, I think when I think of peer pressure, my situation was when I was in high school and or middle school or college or whatever it was, and I would be with a bunch of kids who were doing something or something was going on. And I don't think anybody ever said to me, you need to do this too. I think it was more, I had a feeling like, oh, I want to be a part of that. And I don't want people to either think I'm lame or,
yeah, you know, not, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think I more put it on myself than other people, you know, forcing me. I don't think anybody ever forced me to do anything, but I think I did stupid shit because other people were doing it and I wanted to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I did. I did tons of stupid shit. And I feel like we've kind of continued that in some ways, even into adulthood.
Yeah, I think that's kind of normal. I think that kind of happened. That's why there's a term. That's why there's Keeping Up with the Joneses, because we do that for the rest of our lives. But the Urban Dictionary, I did research, says, to strive beyond one's means to keep up socially and financially with others in one's social circle or neighborhood. So just trying to keep up with everybody around you.
Right.
Like, okay. Simple and easy.
Yeah.
So how have we done it together? We're kind of just...
We do what... I feel like a lot of people keep up with suburban neighborhoods.
Okay. Yeah. So, but how do you feel like we don't do this? Like, do you think... we still do it as much as we did, or like, do we not do it? Like, what do you think?
Let's get to this later.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit more about stuff we've done
you
and then we can
wait
get
to get to my shit.
I just feel like we have so many interesting stories about this.
This is fighting episode part two, everybody.
No,
about to happen.
No, it's not. I just feel like we have so many unique stories about this.
Okay.
That in my mind, or maybe not unique, maybe there are people at home saying who are going to say no, that we totally did this too. But I think a little bit on our situation, we both went to prep schools when we were in high school.
Yes.
And we were probably financially, economically, at the bottom 25% of those
prep schools. Well, you came from a very wealthy town, a very academic town, a very sophisticated town. I came almost from the dumps. Almost. Mm-hmm. Not quite, but almost. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my public schools were like, you know, where yours were pretty good. And I came from an area where, you know, there wasn't a lot of money. Right. So I was well off.
Well, but your family was starting to be successful.
We became well off in my neighborhood.
In your neighborhood. Yeah.
Right. Compared to where you grew up, that would have like kind of put us in like maybe in the middle. Like upper class where I grew up, maybe middle class where you grew up, which wasn't too far away. It's a half hour away, but it's a completely different town. So we both ended up at...
That happens all the time where there's a rich town and a very poor town right next to each other.
So we both end up at prep high schools. Well, you went to prep school all throughout, didn't you?
No, only high school. My sister and brother did.
Right, your family.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's like when I used to walk into class, my brother and my sister were very smart, really good students, really good kids, and I was not. And I would walk in to have the same teacher that my older brother and sister had. My brother's 10 years older than me. My sister's 7 years older than me. And I would walk in and they'd see the last name and they'd be like, no way. There's no way you're Mitch and Amy's younger sister. And they'd be like, yep.
Wait, why didn't you go before high school?
I
never knew this.
I didn't want to leave.
Really? It was your choice?
Yeah. Well, my parents wanted me to, and I said no.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I wanted to wait. And then I was ready to go. I was ready to have a change. But
so we both ended up at private school in Princeton, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, so go ahead. You were saying we were like...
Yeah, I would say, you know, listen, neither of us were deprived. We weren't, I don't want to by any means make it sound as if we had some kind of financially tough situation when we were younger, because I don't think we did.
No.
Yeah.
All right, for the second half of my childhood, no.
Right, for the first half, you yes. Did. Yeah. And I think what happened was that we were in these schools where everybody else was, you know, the standard was that kids were going to Aspen on the weekends and going to shop at the most expensive stores, and Christmas you were getting a new car and all these things that for us we couldn't keep up. It just was impossible to keep up.
All right, so you were a day student because you lived in the town your school was in. I boarded at school, so I lived at school at high school. So I needed money, and I couldn't work because you have no access to getting to a job, or I had no motivation to go get a job, so that's part of it. But
well, you did. You worked at Chili's and spit in the burgers or something,
that was,
right?
That was in the summers. Like during school, I don't have a car. Like I don't have access to like go to a job. So you live at school, so you need every student has an allowance, right?
Right.
So every week I'd go to the office and say, okay, thank you. Can I have my $25? And $25 lasted, you know, four slices of pizza.
5 minutes because you went and bought weed and then you were done.
No, my weed was free, actually.
Really?
And I knew people.
Really? You had free weed? What did you have to do?
No, I didn't even smoke that much weed. I had friends who smoked weed, so I would smoke with them, but I wasn't like a big weed smoker, so I didn't buy it.
Okay.
But, so I would go online and say, hey, thanks for my $25 for the whole week in Princeton, New Jersey. Thank you. I can get four slices of pizza and I'm done for the week.
Right.
And the guy behind me, it was a very international school. So there were people from all over the world living at the school, and very rich, wealthy, successful families, even like royalty, like children of royalty at the school. So,
and Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke went to
and
my school.
Poet Society.
And rumor was when the movie Alive came out, They showed it at my school in the theater, and rumor had it, I didn't see him, that he came into the auditorium and watched it on the screen at the school, smelling so much like weed.
Of course.
Yeah. I didn't see him. I don't know of it. It was just rumor. Who knows? But anyway, so like people online behind me were like, okay, can I have my $5,000 for the week?
Right.
You know, like some like prince from some
Middle
Eastern
country.
Yeah,
and I know you're not being, what's it called?
Modest?
Not modest. I know that you're not.
Exaggerating.
Yes. Thank you. Wow.
I'm good with words. I have all the words.
You have
I
know all the words.
I know the words.
The best words.
I have the best words.
So because I had similar things. You know, I had kids in my high school who in their top drawer, their parents would leave $1,000 in cash just for when you needed $1,000, you know, whatever you needed it for. And of course, they went out and spent it on stupid shit. But then they would refill it without asking any questions. And that was not the case for me. I worked all through high school. And like I said, again, I don't want to make it as if I don't want to sound like we were struggling or anything like that. But my parents literally spent every dime they had on our education.
Right.
And the rest of it, we could not. Yeah, you know, we didn't take vacations. We didn't drive nice cars. We didn't do any of that. But so I think you and I, the point that we're getting to that's taking 15 minutes to get to is that I think we always had it in us this sort of, man, one day I'd like a little taste of that. You know, I'd like to know what it feels like to go to your bank account and be able to take out as much money as you want or buy
money at all.
That there's money at all, or that I can buy the house that everybody's going to look at and say, wow, that's
right.
That's amazing. Well, or get the car that I want, not the car that I can afford. Or
maybe preface this a little bit. First world problems. We get it.
Of course.
We're talking about prep schools in Princeton, New Jersey.
Absolutely. Like I said, we weren't struggling. No, I'm saying it was our situation.
We're not complaining. We're just saying we're trying to explain.
Of course. And I went on to NYU where it was the same kind of thing where you see kids going to Bloomingdale's for their wardrobes, and I was working full time and going to classes and not able to still afford, you know, but it was a different kind of thing. And again, yes, we're not complaining. It was just our situation, and maybe left a little bit of longing of, wow, I would love to step it up a notch and know what it feels like.
What are we getting to? Let's stop that so it doesn't drag on anymore.
We're getting to experiences that we've had where obviously we very much succumbed to keeping up with the Joneses and even kind of surpassing that. And it has been, like you said, a huge struggle in our marriage. There have been situations that have almost led to divorce, a year and a half, 2 years of constant fighting. So do you want to tell the backstory of probably the biggest story we have? You want me to do it?
No way.
I'm surprised you want me to do
it. Well, because you're going to interrupt me the whole way through with how what I'm forgetting and what I did wrong and what I said wrong. And so why don't you just do it?
Well, yeah.
Okay. I'm learning as I go. Like, we're 16 years into our marriage.
Because you're going to tell it all wrong. And
yes,
it's gonna
we're
sound...
16 years into our marriage and I'm figuring it out now.
Okay, good. Okay. It's about time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, so you, go ahead. You tell the story.
Okay. So, what?
Go ahead. No.
What?
Why? I want to hear your take on the story.
Okay. All right. So when we were first married.
So when I was like after high school.
Is that what it feels like to be with me?
I can obviously assume that you guys understand the academic that I was. I went to college after high school and lasted about 6 months. And I went to Hartford in Connecticut. And I spent 5 of my 6 months in Boston hanging out and having a great time. Didn't have any grades. And my parents said, okay, time to come home. So I went home.
What do you mean didn't have any grades?
I didn't go to class. I didn't. I was in for 5 months. I was in Boston.
Okay.
Of the 6 months, I was at Hartford. Mm-hmm. Right. I hated it. I was immature.
You're not a school cat.
So I came home and I went to work. My family had a business and I went into the business and I started working. So I was 21 years old and I was working full time. No school. So I had some money. Because I had a full-time job where my friends and everybody that I knew was in school. So everybody was poor. So I was like the rich guy. Like I had, you know, I was able to go out. I was able to go to Atlantic City. We've talked about that before.
Did we talk about that in the episode, how we went to Atlantic City? I can't
like
remember.
100 times?
I don't think so. I don't know. That we went to Atlantic City on our second date and you took me up to a suite that I thought you were in the mafia. We come downstairs, you start handing me $100 bills, and I was legitimately like, I felt like Henry Hill's wife.
Right.
Where she's like, oh my God, this is so wrong, but it's so right. And love it so much.
And on my end, I was at the craps table and I was like, here's a few $100. Get away from me.
Yeah.
I'm winning.
Oh, and I was like, I think I'm going to marry him. Yeah. He might end up in jail, but I'm still. And obviously, you weren't in the mafia. You just were.
Yeah. Working, I was just, so, yeah. I was working and I was young. And,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So.
Speed it up a little bit.
Okay. I'll try. I don't know how to do that, but I'll try. So I could do what I wanted, kind of. I was single at the time, and I had money, and I was living at my parents' house. I had no expenses except my car. So I was making money right away. I wasn't 25, graduated college, and starting to find a job, right? So from there, now I'm going to let you go in and tell the story.
Wait, why does that have anything to do with
it? I wanted to preface everything with why...
No.
Why it came to...
No, I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Really?
No.
But why, like, what I came from and, like, what I was working and you were at school.
I don't know what that has anything to do with a house.
Because I was building myself up a lot earlier than you or people our age were accustomed
to. Okay, but you can build yourself up from the time that you're 14 years old. If you don't have money to do something, you don't have money to do something.
I'm not saying what I did was right. I'm saying...
No, I think that you're making an excuse that doesn't even make sense, but I'll let people decide for themselves. Okay. So we got married young, moved into a condo, an affordable housing condo. Then we moved into a townhouse, which was great. Mm-hmm. Moved into a regular, great house. And then at a certain point that we were living in this house, not for too long.
Well, we started at the condo, moved to the townhouse, and built a house that we moved into.
I literally just said that.
No, I don't think – I thought you skipped over the house that we bought after the townhouse.
I just said we lived in a house. It was a perfectly fine house.
All right. Well, you went too quick on that.
What does that mean, too quick?
All right.
It's a fucking house. Okay. It had a stairwell and a fucking refrigerator and a washer and dryer. It was a goddamn house. All right. So then,
man.
Well, I mean, come on.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, you come home one day and you're like, I found the house of my dreams. We're moving. Like, we had literally just moved into this house.
It was 4 years later. It wasn't just moved into this house.
No, we did not live in that house 4 years when you looked at that house.
Oh, yes, it was, because it was a year after I found it that we actually ended up moving into it.
So you come home one day and you're like, I found this house. It's amazing. It's heaven. We're moving. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? And you take me to this house. And it was like driving into a neighborhood, even though it was in our town. I had never heard of it before. And you drive me in there and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, it's like Hollywood Hills in our town. And at the same time, I'm like, what is he talking about? We can't afford this. I don't work. We have a kid. We were going to have more kids. You were making fine money, but certainly nothing to support this house. And all of a sudden in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I know Adam. He's going to get this in his head. He's never going to be able to let it go. And for the next year and a half, you would come home. You had your spreadsheets and everything. You would work the numbers because all you cared about now was moving into this house.
Yeah, I was obsessed.
Beyond obsessed. Yeah. That you would leave a half hour earlier in the morning, drive through the neighborhood a couple times. After work, you would drive through the neighborhood a couple times, come home, and work the numbers. And the whole time, I'm fighting you, saying to you, it didn't add up. It did not make sense that you were going to, but in your mind, you had this thing that you wanted to move to this house. And you were trying to prove something. I don't know what it was, but you were trying to prove something.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I say to myself, after a year of fighting, I'm like, I have two choices. I can leave him because this is ridiculous and it could ruin us. But if I stay with him, the only way to go forth is to let him do this, because you were going to resent me for the rest of your life if we stayed together and I didn't let you do this. And we would have ended up fighting forever, and I would have stepped on some dream that you had that I could no longer, you know, that just...
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we move into this house.
Mm-hmm.
People come in, walk in, and are like, who the fuck are these people? Like, literally, why are they living here? This is, what do they do? Is he like selling drugs on the side? Which is, I think, what everybody was thinking to themselves, because everybody knew we couldn't afford it. And after about, a year of living there, I think you started to feel like, holy shit, what did I do?
Yeah, so we built the house. So it was literally white walls and no landscaping and no nothing. It's just a house on grass,
mm-hmm.
but a big one and a lot of grass. And then we started doing stuff and...
I mean, even just we had dogs. We had to do a fence. The fence was a ridiculous amount. That was all our money.
Yeah. So we ended up doing one room in the house. Of mm-hmm. course, the bar room. mm-hmm. And it was like, holy shit, mm-hmm. multiply that by 10 and we got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always equate it to... I feel like this house, you know, for lack of a better analogy or metaphor or whatever it is, I always say this was like the woman you wanted to sleep with, woman wanted you to sleep with, like you finally slept with her and then you're like, all right, great. Like, not that great.
Right.
And now I regret it and I never should have done it. I wish I could take it back. But obviously you couldn't take it back. And now we had to move and we lost a shit ton of money.
Yep.
a shit ton of money.
Yeah, shit ton.
So now we move into a regular great house. I mean, it's a beautiful house that we live in that is the kind of house we should have been in from the get-go.
Right.
So yes, and our entire lives changed because you felt like you had this need to prove something to everybody. Like, it was more than keeping up with the Joneses. It was four steps beyond that because...
But was it keeping up... Like, was it trying to impress other people? Or what was I doing it for myself? I don't think I've... Did I... Yeah, I guess a long time ago I did have a need for, like, showing myself. Like, to
I
be
think
showing.
Yourself, your dad. Yeah. You want to show something to your dad. Yeah. Even though I think your dad was probably like, what's he doing also?
I guess I was trying to be showy at one point because it's hard for me to think back to that because, I mean, things have changed so much. But I guess so.
It was a huge mistake that you should have made when you were 16 buying a car. Not right. when you were 28, 29 with a family to support.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a really shitty, stupid mistake to make. So... That's our big story, and it caused a lot of heartache. And I know there are a lot of people out there who have made maybe not that big of a mistake because that was really a ginormous mistake. But I know there are people out there thinking to themselves that, you know, I've bought this or that and I shouldn't have done it. And I did it because, you know, it was something inside of me that wouldn't go away until I did it, you know, that kind of temptation.
Right.
And you just gave into it.
Yeah, but that's like, I bought a bag that I shouldn't have.
Right. All right,
I've done that with zeros.
Well, I did that. I did that. I did an Instagram story the other day asking people, have you made a purchase that was too big that, you know, you regret? And obviously not giving, you know, an Instagram story, you can't give too much backstory. So you're,
right.
It's limited. But of course, you know, 80% of people were like, yes. And then I said, okay, well, what did you buy? A couch. You know, accessories for my minivan.
Wow, thank you all for even, like, escalating my mistakes even
further.
Well,
but I think that that's what it is that people make purchases here and there that are, you know, you shouldn't have bought that or you shouldn't have. I have stuff in my closet that I look at and I think to myself, well, that was dumb, you know. Not too many things, but I have things that I'm like, well, that was dumb. But I've done that kind of thing too.
Mm, I know.
Yeah. I certainly have. And
see, the problem is you've done a lot of that. Like, you've made a ton of purchases that are just so fucking stupid and I should be so mad about.
So have you.
But mine are so much worse that I can never for the rest of my life be mad at you.
But you do that too. How many clothes? How much?
You're missing my point that you do it constantly, but I've done it to the nth degree that I could never, in fairness, be ever mad at you for doing that shit because right. of what I've done.
Right.
So.
Everybody makes stupid purchases and everybody, you know, buys stuff once in a while that is obviously not within our means. And I think in some ways, a little bit, we should be able to do some of that. Listen, if you want to buy the expensive handbag and you work your ass off or you're going to use it every week and it's going to make you happy, I say fucking go for it. It's not going to make or break you.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't make or break you.
It's not.
Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like, if it makes you happy and it's stupid, fine.
Right.
Whatever.
I think we all need that once in a while, and we need to indulge ourselves. And I do believe in that a little bit, and I believe we're worth it. And we need that excitement, you know, a little bit. Listen, we're bombarded. I've said this before. We're bombarded with these images on social media of these celebrities who are rich because they're football players or they're singers or whatever it is. And we see them buying, you know, huge yachts and houses on islands and this and that, and we're like, a bag, okay, go for it, you know.
Listen, if it's not going to change your life mm-hmm. more than a month, like, if you're going to be in debt for a month and then everything's fine, just fucking do it. Like, if it makes you happy,
well,
it's okay.
I say that, but
if it changes
mine
your life,
definitely went a little bit beyond that. And I've wasted, I know I've wasted plenty of money, gym memberships, all that stuff we can do, you know, in a financial episode that will be different.
How's Orange Therapy going
I for know, you? I know, Orange Theory, I know.
Orange Theory.
Therapy? I think they actually called me. I think they're like, did you die? And you're just like still paying your monthly payment because we haven't seen you in a really long time and we're concerned about your well-being.
So, but you know what, like that pisses me off because I should be so fucking mad about that.
But I should be able to call the gym and be like, I want to cancel.
Of course you should, but you can't.
And they want me to come in and like tell, they're going to ask me 1,000 questions about why. And I'm going to walk in and they're going to be like, oh, well, now I see she hasn't been here because look at all the weight she's gained. And they're going to judge me. And I don't want to go in there and like be like, I'm a lazy piece of shit and I don't want to come to your gym anymore. No. Like, I just want to be able to go online, push a button and be like, I'm done with your gym. Cancel my membership. Yes, and I can't.
That's how it should be.
And that
be.
Should be illegal.
You're right. That's how it should be. Mm-hmm. But it's not. So as your husband, I should be mad as fuck about that. But I can't be because I'd be a, you know, complete, what's the word? Help me with my words.
Asshole?
No.
Fuck face?
Fuck you.
Dickhead?
No, because I do it too, so I can't be mad at you.
Right.
What's the word? No, not asshole. Hypocrite. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's the word I was looking for. So I would. So you're completely wrong in that situation. Sure. I should be so mad at you,
no,
but I
you
can't.
Shouldn't be so mad
yes,
at me.
Yes, I should. It's $100 a month for fucking nothing. And so I should be mad at you, but it'd be a hypocrite. I'd be a hypocrite for being mad at you because I do the same shit.
Right.
So...
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. But nobody likes a hypocrite.
All right. 42 minutes in. So
okay. So my thing. Here's my little story. When we got married, we were young. Saying it again. You were driving your Mercedes and doing all this stuff.
Mercedes C230. It was a new car out for Mercedes. It was $23,000, leased at $200-something a month, the same price as a Honda Accord. So let's just put that out there that I was not driving a Mercedes S-Class. Okay?
You were driving your Mercedes.
Okay.
And doing all this stuff and spending a ton of money. And listen, you gave me an engagement ring, which was... It was really nice. It was very sweet, and we were young. And no, I'm serious. No. Okay.
That was my most favorite thing I ever.
I loved that ring when you gave it to me.
You said, "Oh, it's so cute."
No, I did not. That's what I said when you pulled your pants down. No, I
prefer pretty.
I did love it.
Not cute.
I did. Yeah, you have a pretty penis.
I do.
It's okay. So. But for years after that, you know, as we're married for 10 years and I see people getting an upgrade in their ring or whatever, I got it in my mind that I wanted an upgrade. And I'm not proud to admit it, but there was part of me that was like, I don't know, I'd kind of like to, you know, I've dealt with a whole bunch of shit from him and he's put me through a lot and it sounds so dumb in hindsight.
Yeah, so a ring will solve that.
Absolutely. Listen, it doesn't make sense, but... And a little bit, I think they're pretty, and yeah, I like them. Right. But I also think you had put me through so much shit. I don't know if I was trying to prove something with the ring. I don't know. But I got it in my mind that I wanted a ring.
And that's so not you.
It's so not me.
Like
I know.
Like you want a big diamond ring to wear with your yoga pants.
No, I know. I know. It really doesn't make sense. I wear it. I don't go out. Like for me to put on that, I don't even wear it every day because it would look ridiculous with... I never wear makeup. I never get dressed
shower.
Up. I don't shower. You know, like I just, it doesn't make sense. But I don't think the whole point of it is that none of it makes sense. It's about an inner desire that, you know, it's a beast that you want to feed a little bit that like you want to, you know, you get it in your mind. It's a temptation and you can't get it out. Mm-hmm. And then you feel like you have to prove it. I don't even think it's about the actual object. I think it's about this longing and this taking care of this longing. And finally, like about 2 years ago, you bought me the ring. You uh-huh. bought me a beautiful new ring. It was, it's gorgeous. And
well, yeah, it was for our 15th anniversary.
Our 15th year anniversary. Yeah. And you gave it to me and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But I literally, before
what
we were
to
even.
To get that. Man, I had to hide your other ring, and you never wore it because you were so embarrassed by it.
No, but, it wasn't that. It wasn't even that. It was that my fingers are so much fatter now that it wouldn't fit me.
I had to, like, jump through hoops to, like, hide
jump
it.
Through hoops.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to hide it. I had to, like...
You know, it was very sweet. The whole thing was very sweet. And I just said to you a few weeks ago, I kind of think I'm done. Like, I did it. It's great. I love it. And people out there who have beautiful jewelry and can, you know, and that's your... And you love it and whatever. Like, I'm not putting anybody down. You know, we all have our stuff. I spend money on plenty of stuff.
No, it's just not you.
It's not me and... Yeah, and what I realized is that it was more about the chase. Is he going to buy it for me? You know what I mean? It was more about that than the actual object. Yeah. Because I got it. I love wearing it. It's beautiful. People compliment me on it, but it doesn't enhance my life in any way.
No, as a matter of fact, I bought you a ring before the diamond ring that had like little diamonds,
yeah,
all like
a very
it's a wrap,
cool ring,
right?
Yeah,
like amazing.
Yeah,
and like when I was buying it, the guy was like, "Dude, this is the coolest ring ever."
Yeah, it really is.
This is the only one in the country. Like, I had to like do whatever to find this thing. This is amazing, and you know, for a fraction of the price of a diamond ring. So I bought it like right away. I was like, "This is so cool! Mm-hmm. Like, this makes sense. This is Danielle."
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
So I bought it like mm-hmm. just on a whim. And like that means so much more.
Yeah, I agree.
Than
yeah.
a big stupid diamond ring,
right?
For you,
yeah.
Stupid. When I say stupid,
no, yeah. no. And I agree with you. And yeah, I think that for me, like you said, I don't know. It was the I got it. It was great. And now I'm done with it. You know, not I'm done with it. I still love it. But in some ways, I'm more stressed having it. I'm always when I wake up in the morning. I like check that it's still there, or I, you know, I'm nervous at the end of the night. I'm like, oh my God, is it going to fall off? Which it's not, but it's like this thing that I'm nervous about losing. And it's a whole element of stress for me in a sense, like, cause I'm not the most responsible person. And yeah. So yeah. Anyway, so
go to marriagemartinis.com/ring. And it's up
/ GoFundMe.
It's up for sale.
GoFundMe.
So if anybody
no,
wants it.
No. But I do. I'm okay now. I feel like if we needed the money for something else, I'm fine like giving it up.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And don't get me wrong, there are still purchases that I make that probably, not. They're not stupid, they're not that big. People always say, oh, you know, with jeans or whatever, that you shouldn't, why do you spend so much money on jeans, or these jeans are overpriced. To me, a really nice, expensive pair of jeans, expensive quote unquote, you know, however much, $150. To me, that's worth it. If they're going to make me look better and feel better and I wear them every week, that's worth it to me.
I don't get that.
But you don't get that because you can wear whatever you want. You can go into, like I've said 100 times, you can go into a J. Crew, or you, if you wanted to, you could walk into Target or Old Navy and get buy your whole wardrobe, and it would fit perfectly. Because
I was joking, because I purchased many far too expensive clothes.
But I think for me, who I go up and down in weight and I struggle with my weight and everything, a purchase like that to me makes sense. You know, it's enhancing how I feel about myself. It's enhancing, you know, my confidence level a certain time. And I'm going to use it all the time. You know, I'm not a handbag person, but I like shoes. So if I buy a nice pair of shoes and it doesn't matter if I gain 15 pounds, I can still wear the shoes. Like, that to me is worth it.
Do you do that, like, to keep up with the Joneses? Because you see other people, like, wearing
no,
fancy shoes?
No, that kind of stuff is not keeping up with the Joneses for me. That kind of stuff is
it's for you.
I feel good in it.
Right. So that's different.
Yeah.
That's
different. Right. Exactly. Okay. And I don't even know with the ring if that was keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes, it was. Because, you know, so many people with beautiful rings and beautiful jewelry.
Maybe that's what put the idea in my head.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what
so.
I mean? And maybe a little bit in my head, I was sort of like, well, all these other husbands are buying it for their wives. My husband has put me through probably way more shit than their husbands have.
Yeah, Okay.
Yeah. So why is he not, you know, and he's so willing to spend a fortune on himself. Why is he not doing that for me? I think that was more what it was about. Like, sure. Approving you were so willing to spend so much money on your own stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen, I can't defend it. It's not a pretty thing to defend. Okay, but we have established that probably these big purchases that we make don't wind up leading to happiness. That's not what it is. And it's been proven again and again that spending money on experience is way more beneficial to your overall happiness than buying material items, right? That if we go away and have an experience, you're going to come back and feel like, okay, that was money well spent.
Well, all right. For the most part, these expenses, they're not financial gains. They're not investments. They're not, these are things that we buy just because we want them.
What are you talking about?
Like anything that we buy, like you had a problem with me with my TVs.
Oh, well, we talked about that in the last episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, that drives me insane.
Right. So it's not an investment. It's not like you can go to somebody's house, like it's just keeping up with the Joneses. So this makes sense. So like you go into their house and you see their kitchen and you're like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Oh, I want to redo my kitchen so badly. And but like, that makes sense. We live in our kitchen 75% right. of the time.
Totally makes sense. For
yeah.
You. Like the way I look at it as, okay, so what's a new kitchen remodel? $60,000, right? What are you going to get back?
Probably 30, more than that.
$30,000? Like half.
That's so, fine, but you don't look at like that, like it like that when you buy your cars.
Well, I never bought a car, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay.
What?
That's wrong. You're getting technical. I mean, you lease your cars, whatever it is.
Well,
it's about what you think is the right thing to spend on. I would like a new kitchen. To me, I wish I had never gotten a ring and put that money towards a kitchen. That to me, it makes so much more sense.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
and that's something I really, really, really want. And that's something that I would really benefit from. And this summer.
And you would appreciate a lot more.
100% for a longer amount of time. And this summer we went to Europe. And to me, that was worth every dime. Did we spend more money than we should have? Sure. But I don't have any regrets about it.
Right. Like that was an experience. That's something that's going to last us forever.
And our kids forever.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't just like I put the ring on my finger and it's doing nothing for nobody. Which, like I said, for other people, if that's what makes you, I'm not judging anybody else.
They know that about
you. I'm really not. And I'm so happy for my friends who have nice things, and I have no ounce of jealousy for them whatsoever. But, you know, a little bit, I'm sort of like, there's so many other things we could do with that money. All right, yeah. So we have sort of an interesting story.
Before we even get into, I want to end with the story.
Oh, you do.
So I have just a couple quick stats about keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the Federal Reserve Board, 43% of Americans spend more than they earn. So a lot of people are spending money that they don't 43%.
Have. 43%.
Okay. 43% of Americans spend more money than they
but
have.
But I would assume that way more Americans than that are in debt.
Well, that's the same thing. So
only 43% of Americans are in debt?
No, probably not.
Right. Yeah. That sounds really low.
Yeah. So I guess 43% of Americans spend more than they earn. Probably even more are in debt.
Or maybe they have money saved that they're not – that is contributing to
but
that.
But a good point that I found from Dave Ramsey, which
I'm a fan of. Oh, yeah. You love your Dave. Does he have a podcast?
Oh, totally. Yeah, definitely. Huge podcast. Yeah, he's out there. I do love him. I have my issues about him, too.
Okay.
But I get his...
Would you tell people to listen to him if they're looking for financial advice?
Yes, but no, depending on your... I mean, he's a man of faith, and it comes to his podcast all the time.
Right, so if you're a person of faith, you'll enjoy it.
You'll enjoy it. Mm-hmm. He's also, like, if you're... Easiest way to say this, you, Danielle, would... hate him.
Okay.
The way he would speak down to you as a princess stay-at-home mom.
Oh.
Can I just say it that way?
Okay.
That's the easiest way for me to put it.
Yeah, I fucking hate him already. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would never listen to him.
Yeah.
But I would never listen to him anyway because that shit is not interesting.
Yeah. He's tough. Like,
okay. But you like his advice.
I like his advice. When you take out all the other crap that, you know, doesn't make sense to you as a person... The financial advice in itself makes sense. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But so he says more is never enough. So no matter how much more you buy, no matter how much more you think is going to make you happy, it's not going to. And a huge point, which makes sense, it's never yours if you buy on credit. So if you buy something with a credit card,
right,
and you're paying it off every month, like, you don't own it. You're just leasing it at a huge interest rate. So even though you think it's making you happy and you love having it, it's costing you so much more than you think. So leave it at that. So,
well, and this kind of stuff with couples and everything costs so much more than just the actual money, because it costs you also your relationship in a lot of ways. We spent a year and a half of our relationship, literally every time I would look at you, all I could think about was he's choosing this house over us.
Yeah.
So it's not just the financial investment. It's the fact that, you know, there I would have loved to spend that money on other things. And now, listen, our kids could have bigger college funds and they don't. And all this stuff that I look at you and I'm over the resentment for that, for sure. I have new things for resentment.
Well, yeah, I have different feelings about the college fund than you do, but right, that's for another episode.
Right, but beyond that. Okay. You know, I'm over the my feelings of resentment have morphed into different feelings of resentment.
Ah, sure.
So, you know, but for a long time that was, it's not, think about it as, it's not just the financial investment on your marriage. It's also the investment of the time and the fighting and the stress. Is it worth it?
Right.
You know, and I would say usually the answer is no. And if your spouse is, you know, mad at you for, you know, listen, your TV purchases, I hate them. Am I going to really fight you on it? No, I know it's not going to make or break us. And if it really makes you happy, yes, it's annoying to me. But no, I'm not going to, the same way.
Well, that's the same thing as you with your Orange Theory. Like for 2 years, what?
Okay, go ahead.
Is that wrong?
No, go. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. It's that's equal.
Right.
You've been paying for 2 years for Orange Theory.
No, I the same thing. No, as no, a TV. I went for a year. It's a year that I haven't been.
Wow. Well, okay. Everybody's so impressed that it's just been a year. Okay, so that's a TV right there. So
right.
You can't complain about a TV, and I can't complain about your Orange Theory.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're both dumbasses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both suck.
All right. So now comes to the.
We're Americans. We need our stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. And when we went, you know, again, I'll say it, when we were in Europe and people were, you know, you're jealous of the fact that they're so content with just...
Dude, if we win this Mega Millions, we're going to Europe.
Yeah? Okay.
And anybody who wants to come.
And after Europe, we're going to Asia. And fine. After Asia, we're going to Hawaii. And after Hawaii, we're going to,
we'll
you know...
buy Hawaii and just live there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, you know, Hawaii is in America, right?
I do fucking know that.
All right,
yes.
I just never
I've just never been there because we had to buy a house. So
no, the Orange Theory would have paid for our trip to.
Yeah, but our house could have probably paid for a month and a half in Hawaii. So, or four.
Okay. Okay. So
all right, let's get into your. I want you to tell the story.
All right. So we're gonna end this off with an interesting story.
Yeah, an interesting story
I thought I was telling this.
Okay, story. But I want to add that it's an interesting story that I think further. Proves that money, it's all bullshit. Like, this stuff is, you want to, even if we win the Mega Millions tomorrow, will our life be more exciting? Yes. Will we be happier?
Uh-huh.
Listen, it can't buy you, you're going to still do stupid shit, and you're going to still, and your life is going to be complicated in so many ways. But there have been documentaries and stuff of people who have won the Mega Millions and everything. And number one, they lose it.
Go bankrupt. After
go bankrupt. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And they lose it. And, you know, then you have people coming out of the woodwork for asking you for stuff. And then you give your family members stuff, but they think it's not enough. And so you start fighting with them. And listen, it's all different kind of complications. It's not all just easy. Your parent, you know, you give your, if we won $600 million and we gave each of our family members $1 million. They'd say, really? That's it? Not our family members. But I'm saying there's always going to be something. It's never wow. as simple.
You sound like you've been through this.
Well, I have, but not with $600 million.
No, not at all.
All right, let's go. Let's tell it. L'chaim.
What year is it? 2018?
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to... All right. So it was a dark and stormy day.
We listen to Jonah.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
So it was 2008. I was on a business trip to Las Vegas.
I was 8 months pregnant with Ian.
So I went on a business trip to Las Vegas, left you home with Mia while you were pregnant with Ian.
That was the first problem.
That wasn't a problem. I had to do it.
No, it was a problem because had I gone into labor early, you would have missed it.
No, I would have flown home to see you.
Okay, assuming that you would have gotten on a flight.
There's always a flight.
Okay.
All right. Didn't you see Home Alone?
Let's just fucking go.
All right.
You can always get home.
So we were in Vegas. We were at the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas. It was 11 o'clock at night. I'm giving details. So don't fuck with me here.
Why are you giving details?
Because I want to set it up in a
guys,
way.
Guys, go pop some popcorn.
I want to
cancel all your fucking plans.
Cancel
that meeting you have coming up after lunch.
Just so all of you guys know, I've never told this story to anybody that I did not know or trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is the first time I'm putting it out there in the public. Just want to throw that out there.
I feel like I could go and give Jonah a bath and put him to bed and come down and you'll still be telling this story.
No, I'll still be
but
in
it
the
is,
beginning.
But it is interesting and it is a story that not many people can tell. So
all right. But I do want to gear it up a little bit. Like I don't want to just blurt out the end. Like
okay,
I want to
go for it,
I want to build it up.
Let's go.
Okay. So we're at the Paris Hotel. It's 11 o'clock at night. And we're just getting ready to go back to our hotel and go back to sleep. So I put $100 in this $5 slot machine.
And who plays a fucking $5 slot machine? Well, let's start there.
Right. So I put it in and I lose immediately. 5 spins, I'm out. Or whatever it was. I don't even remember. So I'm out. I lose. So I'm like, okay, I have one more $100 bill. I'll put it in. I'll play. I go home. I go to sleep. Or go back to my room and go to sleep. I put it in, and, I just kept winning. And it was, $100 here, $200 there, $500, and it just kept getting more and more. And all of a sudden, it was a Wheel of Fortune thing. So the wheel would spin, here's $1,000, and then I would pull a thing, here's $500. And it just kept going. And, eventually, I turned my $100 into, almost $6,000 in, 10 minutes. Just pulling this thing on the Wheel of Fortune machine. It just wouldn't stop hitting. And it was, incredible. And, people started, crowding around me and watching me play. And all of a sudden, there's, $7,000, of credits in the machine. And I'm like, holy fuck. I just hit, $7,000, on this slot machine. So I'm like, I'm just going to keep going. What am I going to stop for? So you don't pull the thing. You hit a button now. You don't pull the lever. So I hit the button.
My mom still does. That's her exercise.
Right. Her exercise is to pull the
She
arm.
Counts that as her exercise, that she pulls her arm. Just like she thinks that bowling is an
exercise. Yeah. So eventually I hit the button and the machine just shuts off. It just dies. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? It just died on me. And all of a sudden, there's people coming up and saying, employees are coming up to me saying, did you just play this machine? Was it you? Did you play? And they come over, they check the machine. The technicians are coming over, they're looking at the machine. And all of a sudden, I see Wheel of Fortune comes across the reel 3 times. And I'm like, what just happened? I don't get it. I don't understand. And she said, the woman says to me, you hit the jackpot. It was $1.26 million. That was what was written across the machine. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? No, come on. And for a half hour, people are coming, technicians and employees are coming over, they're looking at the machine, and all of a sudden it hits in. I just hit $1 million slot machine. It happened. I have the pictures to prove it. I can put them up there, I swear.
The big check. Do we still have the big check?
I still have the big check. Yeah. I hit it so nobody would ever see it. It's hidden in the back edge of a closet that's shut off by other things. Doesn't matter. They have to, check the machine to make sure I didn't, I wasn't a fraud and mess with it and whatever. And So I call you.
At like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it was 3. Yeah, was it like 3 in the morning?
Something like that.
Yeah, because I'm in Vegas.
And I'm like, what is he calling me for?
Right. So I call you 3 in the morning for you. For me, it's, I guess, 12. And I was like, I just hit $1 million on a slot machine.
Yeah, and the first thing you hear when you think $1 million is the first thing that goes through my head is, oh my God, our kids' college is paid off. My nieces and nephews' college is paid off. Yeah. I'm taking my family
on life is done.
A cruise around the world.
Yeah.
Like, I'm planning all this stuff and I'm like, oh my God, our lives just completely changed forever.
Yeah, like we're done. Like, you think $1 million, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's done.
Done.
Everything is
done. All I was thinking to myself is no one in my family is ever going to have to want for anything again.
Yeah.
Because that's what you, that's what you think when you think $1 million. All right, so go ahead.
Okay. So for everybody out there who's listening, take out the smallest violin you have and play it. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because this is where the complaining bullshit part comes out. Mm-hmm. So feel sorry for me and play your little violin. Okay, so $1.2 million, right? So that's an annuity payment. And then...
can you explain what that means, please?
Annuity payment means, so for 25 years, they're going to divide that 1.2 up over 25 years and send you a check every year, which would have been about
$5,000
a year for 25 years, which is awesome.
Which is amazing, and salary. We should have done that.
Right. Or
we really should have done that.
Or they offer you a cash option to take a lump sum today... for less, right? So a week later, after I came home, they said, okay, we can offer you $800,000. I was like, fuck, $800,000. Fuck yeah, I'll take that, right? Right away. And then you find out, okay, you have to pay taxes, right? It's New Jersey state and federal taxes. So cut that in half. Now you're down to $400,000, right? Okay. I'm not complaining.
Right.
$400,000 is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we tried to do the responsible thing. We really did. We spent some money. We gave money to family.
Yeah,
to
we our gave nieces each of our nieces and nephews a good chunk of money.
Yes.
We took my parents on a cruise who never travel anywhere or spend any money.
Yep.
So we took them on a nice Norwegian cruise.
We had already been buying this house that we were talking about earlier. So a portion of that was just going right into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, let's be responsible and put the rest into the market.
Which was at the time good.
Okay. This was 2008. If anybody who follows the market, I don't know if you remember 2008, it was the biggest crash of the stock market.
Right.
In like the history.
So we lost
of
all that
our
money.
Lifetime.
Yeah.
So between that and the house that, you know, we were already buying anyway,
mm-hmm.
But had to end up selling. We lost a good few $100,000.
So we got a cruise.
Yeah.
And our nieces and nephews will have money towards their college.
And some furniture that we still have.
And some furniture that we still have that the dogs are probably
eating. So $1.2 million
turns into $800,000 that turns into $400,000 that turns into a lot of stock market loss. And right.
So that's where money ends up when you win it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. We don't want sympathy.
Well, listen, it just goes to show also, you know, you came home from that and we still, you know, I went into labor with Ian. Ian was born. He was in the NICU for a little while. Like, we moved into this new house. We dealt with all the shit that I think we would have dealt with anyway because I was already mad at you for wanting to buy the house. Like, our issues were still our issues. This uh-huh. money in no way solved our issues, and our marital issues would have still been, you know, listen, had you not lost the money in the stock market, you probably would have done something else dumb with it. Or
you would have. Don't just say me.
All right. I would have fucking gotten a gym membership.
A lot of jeans.
A lot of jeans. Okay. But, you know, it just goes to show, like, it's fun for, it was a fun phone call. It was a super fun phone call.
I got to say, thinking, like, about listening back to what we're talking about, people must think that we're full of shit because we have so many crazy stories.
Yeah.
But these are really all real.
Yeah.
This is fucking for real.
But I think a lot, I think most couples probably have crazy stories.
I mean, we have some.
And you don't
like,
get to, you know, you don't get to air your dirty laundry too many times, but now we have this podcast and we're airing
maybe
it all
that's
out.
Why it's like working out, because we just have weird stories that
I
aren't
think everybody
normal.
Has weird stories. We're just willing to divulge them. And like yeah. you said, you've never told anybody that story before,
never.
But it's a story that needs to be told because there's a lot for people to learn about it. And the people, even like you said, what would you do if you won the Mega Millions? It's going to be $600 million. Listen, this could be a lot of fucking fun. But I'm still going to have a kid with ADHD. I'm still going to have a daughter with social issues. We're still going to have our own marital issues. All the shit that's there isn't going to go away.
With a lot of money.
No, it's really not, though. I mean, yes, you can throw money at the problem and I could get the best therapists and the best this and the best that. And we already have, listen, I already have great people working with our kids and everything. But it doesn't, the inner right. core stuff doesn't go away. And yeah, it will be really fun to go on a yacht for a couple weeks, but we'll still be yelling at our kids and telling them they're spoiled brats and all this stuff that you tell your kids because they're on a yacht, and you know what I mean.
But yeah, if a we whole had $600 million.
No, I am sorry,
I
but
I don't
I'll
care if they're spoiled.
I do.
Be, I want to be spoiled.
No, no, I completely disagree with you because I see what even a little bit of spoiling does, and I think from time to time you spoil our kids.
Well, yeah, you have to spoil
no,
your kids every
no,
once in a while.
No, I disagree with you. I really? Think that I think it shows when you spoil our kids, and sometimes our middle son, who is like you in a younger version, who is the sweetest child ever, and sometimes you start to spoil him and I see a change in his attitude. I think that kind of money, as much as it solves a lot of problems, I think it also exacerbates a lot of problems.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm very happy with our little trip to Europe. And I'm very happy that we felt like we had to go
yeah.
out of our way for our kids. And
you know what? To interrupt you, I get that. Like, I understand. Like, it was a struggle to take our family to Europe. So, financially a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that we did that. So, it means
yeah.
even more.
Absolutely.
Because we did what we had to do to make that happen. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely. And we got an Airbnb that had no air conditioning and
right.
no this and no that. Because we said to our kids, listen, we can't afford to get the one with the best this and the best that. But we loved our little place and we appreciated it because that was what we could get. And I think that there's something also to be said for like a minimalist, not that we're minimalists
no.
by any means.
By far.
But a more minimal approach to things than what $600 million makes you think to yourself, okay, well, I have to have the biggest of the best. And nobody's going to forgive me if I don't give them the biggest and the best. And I think it makes all kinds of problems.
All right. I think that's enough of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's – I like the little bit of the struggle and the – you know, not that we struggle. It's all
– relative.
Relative. Yeah. But I like a little bit of the, you know –
Being down to earth.
We, you know, we just booked a trip for a few days to the Bahamas in January, just us with our friends, because we needed a getaway. And I was very concerned with the prices and the hotel prices and where, you know, the flight prices and everything. I kind of like that. Like, it's going to make us appreciate the trip a little bit more.
I'd rather not appreciate it that much.
Oh, all right. I think it's good.
All right. Should we close this out?
Yeah, let's close it out.
I think so. I
okay.
think it's been okay. We're good. What do you think?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, none of you know this. We did this episode like 3 times. So this is the last
yeah,
one, so I hope it's good.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah, we struggled with this one a little bit.
It's been a tough month because, you know, when you podcast, you're not just podcasting. You're doing your work and you're not living just off of a podcast. And we'd like to do that, but we can't.
No, not yet.
We're dealing with you being exhausted from working 7 days a week and coming home and podcasting because we love it and we want to do it, but it's exhausting.
This is what I want to do. I love this.
Yeah.
I love it. I
so
love
go
you guys.
Buy a mug.
Yeah. Buy a mug.
And go rate and review, please.
Yeah. And on Instagram, check out Danielle there because she's doing all that stuff.
No, it's check out the community. It's a whole community and we're having so much fun.
Right. That's
yeah.
True.
Yeah. Once in a while, you get somebody on there who makes a stupid comment, but for the most part, we're super cool.
And we're starting to get some more stuff out there on the subscription site. It's going to happen very soon. So if you would subscribe to us and help us out and just, you know, man, we're asking them to help us out after I told them about $1 billion slot machine.
No, it's not the same thing.
I know.
They're going to see that it's not the same. They know that it's not the same thing.
So, but
if they could see my outfit right now.
You're Nan. Oh, I shouldn't even say that. A Nantucket outfit.
Yeah, Nantucket sweatshirt. But
feel sorry for Danielle wearing a Nantucket sweatshirt.
No, we went to Nantucket one time, and it was blissful and wonderful. But we could never buy a house there.
Oh man, we're just putting ourselves in.
No, they get it. They get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
We're the real deal. You know, we're letting people know. Don't. It's not going to make you happier. Enjoy what you can enjoy in the moment because the $600 million, it'll make it fun for another month and then you're going to have all kinds of shit that would come from it.
But if you hit it, split it with us. We'll be happy to...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
yeah, and if we win it, we will
split. No, shh. No, we won't.
Yes, we will.
Everybody gets a dollar.
Everybody gets a dollar. All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Love you.